Yeah, so Jesus, we just welcome your presence. We just say, come Holy Spirit, come Lord Jesus. Jesus, we just thank you. Lord, we've heard so much about you and what you want to do through us. And so now, Jesus, just come. Come in this room, Lord. We thank you that you're already here. We just ask you to come and increase, intensify your presence, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. We're hungry for you, Jesus, and only for you. So just, I want you to say this with me, okay? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind. To free those who are oppressed. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. I've been crucified with Christ. I died with him. I was buried with him. I'm raised with him. I'm seated in him. Far above all rule, all power, all authority, and above every name that is named. Therefore, I carry the power of Christ and the authority of Christ over sickness, sin, demons, and the world. Amen. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you, guys. Let's see here. I was trying to figure out how to do this. Most of you are seated in pairs or close enough. Let's see. David's not. I just want you to put your hand on your neighbor. If you're already seated next to each other, then, I mean, that's no social distance problems there. Now, I just want you to pray. Let's just start praying if we can. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Just pray out loud. Here's what I want you to pray. Lord, just let them feel your presence right now. So we'll just pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that you come and rest on every person right now in a tangible way. Lord, I just pray a release of your presence right now over every person right now in Jesus' name. Let everyone here just experience a tangible taste of your presence, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Every single person. Come, Holy Spirit, just touch everyone here. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be feeling, if you're feeling like a heat or something, I want you just to raise your hand right now. If you're feeling anything just kind of right now in your physical body, just raise your hand. John, a little bit. Okay, well, that's okay. He can come in many different ways. So I think I have some notes here somewhere. I came out of the house today. And there was like a decapitated rat's head on my doorstep. And I think it was one of the cats that hangs out there. Does anybody know, do cats decapitate rats? Do they? Okay. I just need to clear that. I didn't know if it was a cult trying to do something. I'm serious. it's a cat. Pull up my notes here. I told Craig that, you know, this is very uncomfortable for me, just so you know. There are about a million things I would rather do than this. This is very uncomfortable. And I told Craig I might just pass out in the spirit for 2 hours and just pretend to be gone somewhere else. But that's probably offensive to the Lord on some, I'm sure. But, you know, I love everything we've been talking about. And it's true, really. I mean, for him to show... We have to go. I mean, this little one-liner is that I really like is God's gift to us is ability. Our gift to him is availability. But he says, you go first, right? We wish he would say, here's what's going to happen, ABC. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about a thing. But he says, you go and I'll show. And I was reading the book of John, especially. And the book of John is, you see this kind of requirement, or let me just say action, that Jesus uses in pretty much every miracle in the book of John. I mean, you see it in the changing of the water into wine. He involves the servants. He says, servants, go get some water, give it to the host, whatever. And it was still water. They're like carrying this water up to the host. And whenever he drinks it, it's turned wine. So anyway, all throughout the book of John, we see that. So I'm hoping that in this time, the Lord will like do something, you know, say something that I can't say, because to be honest with you, I'm still kind of figuring out exactly which direction to take. But, you know, if you're a crow and you're a smart crow, then when you see a scarecrow, right, you know where to find the food. So if the fear that we face, like, this is not fun for me, and I knew the Lord was going to do something because of the level of kind of fear and discomfort. So think about that. A scarecrow, you know, tries to scare them away. But if you're a smart crow, then you know wherever there's fear, wherever there's resistance, wherever the enemy is pushing back, you're going to find the fruit in those places. And so, you know, I unfortunately wasn't here this morning, but I assume I caught some of it on live stream. But a lot of what we talk about with healing and signs and wonders requires a go on our part. The good thing is that we have a comforter. So if you're going, you know, and you're very uncomfortable, you have a comforter. You don't need a comforter if you're perfectly comfortable. You only need a comforter if you're uncomfortable. And so Jesus has given us the comforter. And so as we just think about, when I look at you guys, I just see you know, someone said revival is sitting in your seat right now. The answer to your city's problems is sitting in your seat right now. And so I'm just like, Lord, I don't know how to teach heart. I just need you to impart your heart right now for the lost, for those who haven't yet tasted your presence, who haven't yet known your presence. Just do it, Jesus, because I don't know, I don't have the words. If you don't get it, then I can't make you get it. So the Lord is really waiting for us to go. You know, we think he's sovereign, and he is. But in his sovereignty, he's decided to partner with us. So I remember one time I was outside of Winn-Dixie, or one of these stores, Walgreens, whatever, and I saw this lady kind of limping out to her car, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, are you going to withhold healing from her? Are you going to withhold my healing from her? I said, Lord, is that possible? He's like, yeah, if you don't go pray for her, you're withholding my healing. And so I said, okay. So I walked up to her, introduced myself, asked her, could I pray for her? She said, yes. I think she had a cracked tailbone or something, you know, like that. And so just prayed for her, and Jesus came in, and she was instantly healed. And then another time I was at a Taco Bell drive-thru. Maybe I should just share stories. I was at a Taco Bell drive-thru, and the Lord kept telling me that the lady behind the window had pain in her ankles. Every time I would drive-thru, saw the same lady, Lord say, hey, she has pain in her ankles and her knees, drive-thru. Finally, I just felt the Lord say, how long are you going to let her be in pain? How long are you going to allow this? I said, well, okay. And so I asked her, do you deal with this pain? She said, yes. Prayed for her. Jesus came, you know. And so there's a stepping out that's required of us to see the Lord move. And that can happen anywhere at any time. I'm going to get into that in just a minute. So I'm just going to like talk a little bit about this, and then I've got some testimony videos, and then we're going to actually do it, because I just feel like we need to just start doing it. I'm not sure how that's going to work out yet, but there are two or three main things on the streets that like, or I say the streets, but that just means anywhere outside of the church. That whenever I'm out and about, you know, ways that the Lord manifests himself that really shows people that he's real. You know, Jesus said that if you don't see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. And that was not an insult. That was a statement of fact. You know, so we're really condemning the world to hell if we don't walk in signs and wonders. There are people that won't believe if we don't manifest Jesus in every way possible. And he's given us all of his power. We have all the power of God. All the power of God in us. And it's not meant to sit here and worship every Sunday. You know, one thing that just wrecks me, and it wrecks me every time, is I'm on the streets and I just see someone, you know, you have this, the story of sin is written on their face. They've got the scars, they've got the tattoos, they've got all of this. And you say, hey, man, the Lord told me to say, come pray for you. Is that cool? Yeah, sure. And the Holy Spirit comes and tears flow in their face. I say, what are you feeling right now? I feel the presence of the Lord. I feel, or they won't use those words. They may say, it feels weird. It feels funny. Or I feel a heat. Or I feel this or that. And I say, that's the presence of Jesus. Have you ever felt that before? No, I've never felt that. Never felt it. What we get to experience every Sunday. The world hasn't tasted it. And it wrecks me. It wrecks me. I don't know how to impart that. Let me just read this from Brian. One of my friends, Brian Blount, you're going to see. I'm going to show one of his videos in a minute. If I'm not making sense, I apologize. Like I said, I wrote on my phone like about all the one-liners, and I've already gone through them. So I was going to try to like Frankenstein them into this message, but we'll see what happens. So I was like, seriously, y'all have no idea how much torment I've gone through in the last month trying to figure out this moment of like, God, what am I going to say? I've never had this much trouble trying to figure out what to say. So I just trust that he's got something to say here. And it's kind of intimidating, you know, if you don't talk, there's silence in the room. It's like, wow, I'm the one everyone's... But anyway. So let me just start here, and then I'll get to this in a minute. But anyway, three of the main things I see are healing, the prophetic, the manifest presence of Jesus. These are a lot of things Jesus did. You know, when he went and about, he said, go preach the kingdom and heal. Preach the kingdom and heal. He specifically singles out healing as something that we should see every day of our lives, everywhere we go. Preach the kingdom and heal. That's healing is one of the main demonstrations you see as a manifestation and proof of the kingdom. And prophecy is one of the things that we see. Words of knowledge. You see Jesus operating in words of knowledge all the time. You know, Nathaniel comes up to Jesus and says, you know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus says, behold a man without deceit. And Nathaniel goes, how do you know me? That must have been a really personal word. You know, how do you know that about me? And Jesus said, hey, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. And Nathaniel's like, you are the Son of God. You are God. And then Jesus says, you know, you're going to see greater things than these. You're going to see greater things, greater things, greater things. Then they spend 3 years with Jesus and he turns water into wine, you know, walks on water. I think we just get desensitized to that, but like, what? He just changed the molecular structure of water. You know, he's walking on water. You know, all these things that are like, what? And then they come to the end of his life and he tells Nathaniel, along with the other 11, hey guys, you're going to do these things and you're going to see greater things, greater things. It's like in the beginning of John, it's at the end of Jesus's ministry, earthly ministry in John. And every time he says, you're going to see greater things, you're going to see greater things. So in the book of Acts, we're just going to go to Acts chapter 1 real quick. So he says on the first account, I told you about all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. Obviously, everyone here knows began, you know, Jesus began to do these things. It means he's continuing to do them in us and through us. Until the days he was taken up to heaven. Now go to 6. He said, when they had come together, they were asking Jesus, saying, Lord, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's a really political question, you know. So they're asking this really highly political question. I'm all for politics. I think we need godly people in politics. But they're asking God, like, is this the time, you know, you're going to come back and be president of Israel? So we don't have to sit under this current president we have, Nero. And Jesus says this. He says, It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, in John 16, 17, 18, I think Jesus talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. He has lots of purposes, lots of things that he does, but here it's very singular. It's very one single focus. Jesus said the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you to be my witness. Now, you don't need you don't need power to tell somebody what you saw. I don't think that's what Jesus means by witness. I could say, hey, you know, I saw Chris do this or that. I don't need power to do that. So when Jesus is saying to be my witness, there's a way in which Jesus is saying, I want you to represent me on the earth. I want you to be as me, and your life, the way you live, the power you walk in, will be a walking testimony, a witness that Jesus is Lord and that he's real. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit for that. And he wants to empower each one of us to do that. But he's waiting for us to step out. And so let me go to one more place. And then I'll just share some stories and share some practical ways of like just how you can step out and start, you know, praying for people. And I'll be honest with y'all, my preferred way of like, if I was to like someone say, hey, I want to learn how to go pray for people, I would say, just come with me and just come with me and do it. Can I just be honest with y'all and say that? That's my preference. But this is sort of like if you ever went to Sam's Club and you got the little samples, the little sample cups, you get like the little sample burrito, the little sample. I used to love that as a kid. I feel like I can give you a couple little samples, but tomorrow when we go out on the streets, like just, he's going to teach you, you know, everything you need to know. And we just have to start stepping out and just praying for people, just step out and pray for people. And it's like trying to say, how do you ride a bike? You just ride it until you can ride it. And so just step out it becomes more natural. But where does the mission of Jesus happen? I think I touched a little bit on that. But in John chapter 4, it says in verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now that's the most boring verse I've ever heard in the Bible. There came a woman from Samaria drawing water. That's a very common daily activity. This woman didn't think, hey, something special is about to happen. She just said, hey, I'm going to go to the store, you know, get my groceries, go home, hope nobody sees me. You know, it could easily say there came a man from Selma and he went to go work at Taco Bell. Or there came, a young single mother from Charlotte and she went, you know, to Sonic to get a hamburger. I don't know. It's just a daily like thing that you're seeing the Samaritan woman do. In verse 7, there came a woman from Samaria to draw water. But then Jesus happens, which is you and me. And he said to her, give me a drink. So Jesus, he's obviously setting the stage. And you all know the story. I don't have to get into that. But I think I shared this last time during a couple years ago. But there's an anthropologist that basically said we tend to fit people into one of three categories. In general, in our lives, we tend to see people either as, what is it? Scenery tends to be the first one. We go throughout the story of our life. People are kind of in the background doing what they do. They're kind of the backdrop to our life. The first category we put people in is scenery. So everywhere we go, people are just kind of like trees, rocks, buildings, people, dogs, cats, decapitated rats, you know, whatever the case may be. The second one we tend to put people in is machinery. So you go to the store, you're like, hey, give me a number 5. You know, you're talking to the person behind the desk as a machine. You do something for them, they do something for you. It's transactional, it's based on a function, it's based on what they do, it's based on their role, machinery. So there's scenery, machinery, and the third one, if you have heard this, don't say anything, but do you know what the third category is? The third category is human. So We can tend to see people as scenery to the backdrop of our life. Machinery, so people that we just kind of interact with, or human. So this lady, Jesus is hot and thirsty, and it doesn't seem like his kind of day, but this lady comes from Samaria to draw water. So which category does Jesus put her in? Obviously, he sees her as a daughter, a lost daughter. She's a Samaritan at that, you know. That's like, I mean, we have other categories we put people in. So when we're out and about, we tend to make snap judgments, especially if we think, I'm going to pray for these people. We tend to think, is this person going to receive Jesus? I mean, probably not. Like, look at them. I'm just talking about the human perspective, you know, and that can be any category. Or we tend to look at people and say, yeah, they seem safe. Yeah, maybe they want Jesus. But I'm telling you, there's really no way for us. I mean, I've seen, you know, hardened gangsters like hit their knees and receive Jesus. And I've seen sweet grannies like try to bite my head off and put curses on me. So, I mean, there's like no way to determine by what we see how people are going to respond. But, you know, people are kind of like fruit on a tree. So if you shake a tree, the fruit that's ready will fall off. I've never done that. I'm assuming that's true. It's true. Okay. You shake a tree, the fruit that's ready is going to come off. So when we're out and about, Jesus says, you share and I'll shake. You share and I'll shake. The Holy Spirit is the one that does all the work. So if we approach someone and say, hey, I felt led, can I pray for you? And they say, no, get away. You don't have to say, hey, no, you don't have to keep shaking. They're just not ready. But most people are ready. Most people want Jesus. I'm serious. One of the biggest lies of the devil is that people don't want Jesus. People hate Jesus. People hate any physical demonstration of Jesus. But that's a lie from hell, and it keeps us from stepping out. You look in the scriptures, most people follow Jesus. The ones that didn't were in this stinking synagogues. I mean, they were the ones that didn't want him, were the religious ones that thought, we got it figured out, we're good. You know, most people want Jesus. So, is any of this making sense to y'all at all? Seriously, I'm for real. Okay. I needed that affirmation. Thank you. Let me see if I have any other. I want to share a couple testimonies. Has anyone felt like stretched from hearing about the miraculous at all? Anyone felt like, wow, this is kind of a little bit of a stretch? Okay, I hope to get you there before we're done. So, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's, as we would say, tripartite. You know, he's unique. There's nobody like God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're kind of like him because we're spirit, soul, and body. So our body interfaces with the world that's around us. You know, sight, smell, this is how we interact with and interface with this world. But when we get born again, we come alive in union with Jesus, seated literally right now, seated in Christ in the heavenly places. And there's a spiritual world that says in the scripture that what we see is made from that which is not seen. So we're taught all of our life, you know, rational thinking, science, and how, you know, some of this I'm getting from somebody else, but if I took this and dropped it, you know, why would it fall to the ground? Gravity, right? We're taught rational thing. But, you know, when the kingdom of God comes upon something, this could fly to the ceiling, you know, because there's a different kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And so to enter into that kingdom, we have to die to this one. To operate in that world, we have to die to this world. So how do you explain, like, Philip being transported, you know, to a different physical location? After he baptizes the eunuch, he's like physically transported, disappears and appears somewhere else. You say, well, I don't think that's what the verse means. Well, how about John when Jesus walks on water? He says he got in the boat. They were instantly at the shore. He transported a whole group of them to the shore. And you have missionaries even today. I don't know any of them personally. I wish I did. But, they'll be walking to a city that's 12 hours away and they're there in 30 minutes. Or they'll be, that's happened to you guys. Okay. Hey, I want you, can y'all share that? Please share it. Okay, it's already on your books. Okay. No, go ahead. It's fine. It's fine. Or, you know, how do you explain a leg growing out, or physical material appearing out of thin air, or, you know, you really have to turn off that switch in your mind about what you've always been taught about how physical reality works. I mean, I know that sounds mystical, but, you know, the saying mind over matter, but there's the saying spirit over mind. The Holy Spirit has to come over our mind. Because nothing is impossible for Jesus. It's because of his nature, his reality. You know, he does. I just think about how childlike that word wonders is. I mean, signs, I get that's kind of a technical phrase, like driving down the street, there's a sign that points to something. But that word wonders, it's like so childlike. He didn't say, like, you'll see signs and pneumatological manifestations of the Spirit of God. You know, he says wonders, wonders. That's just who he is. He's wonderful. He's full of wonder. All right, so now that we got that out of the way, I just want to do a little training. Is that okay with you guys? Just do like a video, a couple videos in a minute, and then just tell you how do you approach someone? Like, how do I approach someone to pray for their healing? How do I approach someone to give them a prophetic word? So let me share one more story, and then Karen, you can launch those videos. So yesterday I was like racking my brain about this and overthinking it as usual. Paralysis by analysis, like, kills me. And so I just said, I'm going to go to Walmart, you know, and just pray for some folks. And there was this guy, he was kind of limping into the store as I was leaving. And I said, man, what happened to your foot? You know, this is a little teaching, but if you see someone, you're like, how do I pray for someone for healing? Well, if you see them have a sling, have a cane, have a limp, you know, maybe even an arm missing if your faith is that big, you say, hey, what happened to your arm? What happened to your leg? What happened? Just ask them about the thing first. Ask them about the thing that they're dealing with, the sickness. So I said, hey, man, why are you limping? He said, I burned my foot. I said, how do you burn a foot? He said, well, I was cooking with oil, and I accidentally dropped some and spilled some and completely burned up my foot, and it kills me to walk. I can't. It's hard for me to even walk. His name is Marco, and I said, man, he had his little 8-year-old daughter with them. I said, man, can I pray for you? He said, sure. So just prayed for him, you know, and I'll show you how I prayed for him in a minute, just a commanding prayer, taking authority, you know, over the pain, commanding it to go. I said, hey, can you test it out? So he took a step. He said, no, it still kind of hurts. And then his eyes got huge. And he was like, and he started stomping on it. He started walking around and he was like, there's no pain. I said, really try, truly make sure there's no pain. He started sprinting down in front of Walmart. His daughter like turned and looked at me. I turned and looked at her. Our eyes got like big. We're like, whoa, okay. He came running back. He started just tears just flowing down his face. And I mean, we were just both just taken aback by the Lord. And I was like, you know, this is Jesus introducing yourself to him. This is Jesus showing you that he's God. He loves you. He cares about you. Do you want this Jesus? Yes, I want. Of course I want Jesus. And just got to lead him in a prayer to receive Jesus. I got to share one more story, just kind of about how we can't judge who's ready for Jesus and who's not ready for Jesus. One time, Chris, can you stand up for a second? This is my buddy, Chris. He comes with me a lot of times on the street. So anyway, we just came to the church and said, Holy Spirit, show us where to go. We want to go pray for people. We want to see you do some stuff. We want to see the world impacted. We want to see people get saved. Show us where to go. And all we got was just like a picture of the downtown bridge. So we passed by in the car. No one was there. We were like, maybe we missed that. So we just kept driving. Nothing was really fruitful. So we said, well, let's just go back to the bridge. We went back to the bridge. Again, it was just like real slow. It was hot. It was like summer in Alabama. It was like super hot. And I was getting angry. I was like, man, there was just some guy out there talking about stickers and selling stickers for Selma. I was like, okay, well, we prayed for him or whatever. I was like, Chris, I'm going back, man. We tried, you know. It's good. When we step out, Jesus would rather us fail in faith than succeed in our own strength, never attempting anything for him. Everyone, we're all going to fail at, you know, you can either fail doing nothing or you can fail trying to step out. And you will not always fail, by the way. In fact, you won't fail as often as you think. So we thought, I'll just come back to the church. Chris thought he had a word of knowledge for someone out there, so he got in his car, drove back to the bridge, And I thought, man, well, Lord, I'm hot and bothered, right? I'm hot and cranky. I don't know what that phrase, anyway. I was like, God, this is frustrating. Then I get a call from Chris. I was like, what's up, man? And he said, hey, HBO is at the bridge right now, and they're filming Drag Queens right now at the bridge. I was like, excuse me, there's what? At the what? And he said, there's Drag Queens at the bridge. You got to get down here. It's a show from HBO. I was like, okay, I'll come. So I got in my car. Are y'all familiar with that show, by the way? Okay, good. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, well, that was a test. Anyway, apparently there's a show on HBO about drag queens. And I drove one, and there was a guy, it felt like he was 7 feet tall. I mean, huge. It was the creepiest thing I've ever seen. It looked like Alice in Wonderland. I was like, there's got to be like a million demons in there. And so I was expecting a real like clash of kingdoms. We've seen that not all the time, but we see it probably weekly where there's a clash of kingdoms with the demonic. So I was expecting that. I was fully prepared for that. I was like, all right, well, Jesus, you show up in some strange places. So I got out of my car, started walking. And I mean, it was tons of people, like 100 people, 200 people, something. And I started talking to this young man dressed as a woman. And what I saw was just a starvation for love. I mean, it was a complete starvation for love. And there was no clash in that moment. I got a word of knowledge for their foot. Jesus healed their foot. They started crying. They felt the presence of the Lord. And started sharing the gospel. Then someone interrupted and they had to leave, you know, to go be on the show or whatever. And Chris had a few cool encounters there as well, getting some word of knowledge for some of the people there. And I thought, you know, Lord, that's such an interesting place. Like Chris said, when he went to the bridge, he just felt the presence of the Lord there. The Lord's compassion is so deep. Yeah. Well, Karen, would you mind showing a few of those videos? There's just a few testimonies. These are some from me being out on the streets. I don't like to pray for someone and then shove a camera in their face, so I don't have very many of them. But these are a few people that said, yeah, you can record our testimony, 50, 60-second testimony. And it's not comfortable for me, but here are a few of those testimonies. I'm here right now with Cynthia and with Roger. And Jesus loves these guys so much. And so would you just want to share with the church what the Lord did for you today?
I just thank God for his healing power. I mean, my knee was hurting me real bad, but then after he prayed for me, I ain't feel no pain, no nothing. Amen. Oh my God, I just thank God for being real. I believe in the power of prayer.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then after that, we prayed for Roger.
Oh, yeah. Hey, my name is Roger. No, I was hurting in my back, but he didn't. And I know we got to be God because he didn't even know, and I didn't even tell him. But right now, I feel good. I don't feel no pain in my back.
Thank
I was
you,
hurting
Jesus.
In my back, but I don't feel no pain. Now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And Jesus loves you guys so much. And
you got to
so,
be God, man. For yeah. Still, come on.
Amen. You feel it? That's the Holy Spirit, man.
Yep.
That's the Holy Spirit. All right. So what's your name?
Thomas.
Awesome. And could you just tell what the Lord did for you?
You came and prayed for me, and all of a sudden I start feeling good. I had pain before I got out the car, and when I got inside of the store, I met you, and you prayed for me, and I feel great.
Amen. Amen. And you said it was a bone spur in your shoulder?
I got a bone spur I got to be operated on.
Man.
Yeah.
So does Jesus still heal today? What do you think?
I feel good.
Amen.
You know, I feel like, you know, I really didn't need to take the pain out of it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And I feel great.
Amen. Come on, Jesus.
Yeah. You know, I thank you for Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
And through you, praying, he healed me.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Great.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas, thank you, man. What's your name?
Albert.
And what, what happened to him?
Yeah,
Albert,
me and my friend David here. I had a bad headache, but I had a headache every day. So David prayed for me. My headache gone. I feel fine. Feel normal.
Amen. Come on. And so do you think Jesus still heals today, man?
Jesus really
heals. Jesus really heals. Come on, man. Awesome.
He'll do it.
He'll do it. Yeah, so your name is Mike?
My name is Mike.
Yeah. And so, Mike, can you just tell me real quick what happened?
I want to tell you, the brother, he came and prayed with me. And after he got through praying with me, I'm talking about I felt a relief in my chest, and I felt a glory. You know what I'm
glory,
saying? I felt absolutely
yeah.
good.
Amen. So you said you had pain in your chest pain, from a heart attack. Yeah. And how is the pain right now?
I feel good. I don't even feel it no more.
That's awesome.
I feel
man.
Wonderful, man.
So is Jesus still healing today,
still,
man?
Still Jesus, still healing.
Amen. He loves you so much, man. Thank you.
I love him.
All right, so before we walked over, how was your elbow, like, or your shoulder?
It hurt really bad. I could only move it, you know, move my arm this way. I could not lift my arm at all.
Okay. And then he came over, and what did he say to you?
He just asked, he just said that he felt like someone here had arthritis or something, and asked that he could pray over me.
Okay. And then what did God start doing?
Started to heal it.
All right. And now what can you do? So just
now I can lift my arm.
Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. He just loves you, man. He saw you.
Karen, you can stop that one now.
He saw you. And he pointed you out for a specific purpose.
Yeah, you can stop it now. And then the last one is from my friend Brian in Oklahoma. And I heard there are some people with hearing issues, so I just wanted to play this one.
We're at the Tempe Vineyard, and we were doing a time of impartation and prayer, and she comes forward and it said that she had been born deaf in her left ear, hasn't been able to hear at all, completely deaf, right? And so we began to pray for her. And can you tell us what happened to you?
I just felt the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden, they started covering my ears, and then they started talking, and then I was able to hear them, and then I started crying because I thought it was impossible. And so it was just amazing, and I still can't believe it.
But God is so good. So we're going to put our hand over here, okay? And you're going to, somebody come here and put the hand right there for me, and hold that a little bit harder, okay? And I'm just going to say some things, you just repeat it.
Jesus loves me. Alina, 12. It's crazy. Jesus wants to heal other people. Yes, they can.
Put your hand out there and say this. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
As you healed my deaf ear.
As you healed my deaf ear.
Deafness.
Deafness.
Go.
Go.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
As freely as I received.
As freely as I received.
I freely give.
I freely give.
Amen.
My name is Marvin Ivory. I'm a grandfather or grandpa.
Grandpa.
Grand Pickle to your guy. And I'm Michelle Ivory, and this is our only granddaughter. And when Alina Michelle was born, she was born with a defective ear where the ear was folded down, and she could not hear out of it. So this is absolutely an awesome thing because she hears, and we don't even know if she has everything in her ear to be able to hear.
So I give all the praise and glory.
So she was born without the ability to hear.
That's correct. Yes.
And she is now hearing, and that's like, honestly, it's medically impossible is what you're saying. She had her ear that was folded over.
Folded down.
And they made some cartilage, or trying to make it a natural ear, right?
Yes.
That's correct.
They removed cartilage from her rib, and they shaped it into a mold of her normal ear. They reversed it and made the cartilage formed around the mold to make a ear.
Yeah.
They went behind her ear and made an incision and stuffed the cartilage, which she shaped into an ear, behind her ear.
She's trying to make it like a normal ear, cosmetically.
Cosmetically.
What did you think when you saw her today and she told you what happened?
I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't. I mean, that just doesn't happen.
Okay, that's good, Karen.
Yes.
Praise God. I think Michelle said, no, you can't. And she said, yes, I can. No, you can't.
Yes.
We give all the glory to God.
Yeah. Without
you can stop it.
Him.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Come on, Jesus. Okay. So let's just go after healing. I don't know how to teach. I don't know how to do everything about the prophetic healing and presence, whatever. Just go after healing. So, Bishop, do you have any words of knowledge? Yeah, come up here for just a second. Everyone who is healed, just come up here. Or if you're healed from hearing, just come up here if you can hear me. And just, if you could just share. Were you healed of hearing? Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Could you all just come over here and just line up here and just try to keep somewhat distant, whatever. Can you just share in 60 seconds, just real quick, where you were, how it was before, and how it is now? Here you go.
Before, like when Bishop talks, it's something in my ears that I can't hear a soft voice. So I'm continuously doing this to him. All these years I've known him, I catch one word out of 10. And that's why I kept listening. I told Pat, I said, I hear the bishop. That's why I kept my back turned to you. When she prayed for me up here, my ears started getting warm. And then you came over and stand. And then she kept praying and praying, and it kept getting warmer and warmer. So she said, how is it? I said, it's warm. I said, hey, I'm claiming it. It's healed. So we left and come back. And I said, I'm going to wait to see if I can hear the bishop without a microphone speak. God is real, y'all.
Amen.
Let me tell you, you just believe and trust in him.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, so just 60 seconds, like what the Lord did.
God told somebody I walked into the door today and got over there. And he walked up to me and said, God, said, Jesus said he loved me. He loved me. I'm special to Jesus today. Amen. I'm special. Amen.
Special to Jesus, man.
I zoomed home. I had two young ladies help me with my ears, and I turned my TV on just because I normally have the TV on it between 32 to 38, 19 to 20. Can't believe it. Thank you, Lord.
There has been a consistent ringing in my ears, like even when it's dead silent, I still hear it loud and clear. I didn't get anything cool, like I didn't feel my ears get all warm, you know, really feel it flowing inside me. No, I didn't really get that. But afterwards, I did notice when we're all sitting down and it was quiet, that ringing wasn't there at all. It was actually silence for once. So, yeah.
I've had ringing in my ear, which is still present to a smaller extent, but I've noticed since I've come back from lunch that I have a fuller, higher, and lower range of my hearing that I didn't even realize how messed up it was until it got better.
What's your name? Rick. All right, so Rick.
We were in Africa on Sunday. We prayed for several
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, and I was just going to say something real similar to Rick. I want to check back in with you tomorrow, Rick, to see how it is tomorrow, because I've noticed sometimes it's like the Lord comes on someone and it's just like it fades out, you know. So we'll check on you tomorrow. I feel like most people in this room kind of know this, kind of know what to do. You just got to do it. I mean, most people in here know what to do. You've been in the circles for a long time. Just got to take it out there. Just got to do it. If you really want to see, you know, your world, your church impact the community in a new level, you just got to do it. I mean, I think that's why I don't have much to say, because I'm like, let's just go do it. That's the biggest gap, is just stepping out and praying for someone. And I can tell you how to do that, but I can't tell you a risk-free way to take a risk. I can't. It's impossible. I can't even really tell you a way to do it that's not awkward, because I'm pretty sure I'm a very awkward person. So you just got to do it. And I mean, the worst that can happen is nothing, and the worst thing that you can lose is your pride. So it's really got nothing to lose, just approaching someone. So the way that I approach somebody, like if they need healing, if I see physically, I've already said this, like if I see physically someone needs healing, I'll walk up to them and just ask them, what happened to your, you know, so-and-so. And you can just say this, just say, excuse me, can I ask you a question? It's a real simple thing to say. Not too many people have been freaked out by that approach. Excuse me, can I ask you a question? That's a very common thing. What happened to your knee? I see you have a knee brace on. What happened? Can you tell me about that? Yeah, I was in this, you know, car accident 4 years ago, and my knee got hurt, and now, since then, I can't really do anything with it. Oh, wow. Well, hey, I'm a Christian. Can I say a prayer for you? I know that's kind of weird in a public place, but is that okay with you? You can just be yourself. Be natural. God will put his super on it, right? Just be natural. Yeah, sure, you can pray for me, or no. No, thank you. Hey, God bless you. I hope you have an amazing day. Jesus loves you so much. Yes, you can pray for me. Okay. So you don't have to touch them. You don't have to lay a finger on them. You can, and that helps sometimes. It really does. That's a whole different thing for another day, but you can just say this. So when we pray like Jesus and the disciples. We don't ask Jesus to heal them. It is Jesus healing them. It's Jesus through and through, but he didn't say go and pray for healing for people. He said, go heal the sick. Go heal the sick. So what we do is take the authority we've been given. We say, in the name of Jesus, and you speak to the body in Jesus' name, tell the body what to do. Now, God will respond. He's not a legalist. I'm just saying, if you say, Father, will you heal him? Boom. I'm just telling you what I've been taught, what the scripture teaches, and what I've seen bear fruit. So, but, you know, there was a guy that came up to me. You know, you carry the presence of the Lord. You carry the presence of the Holy Spirit. You could just shake somebody's hand, not even know they're sick, and then be healed, you know. There was a guy that came up to me, and he just stood next to me. And I said, hey, how can I help you? You know, basically. And he said, well, this is really weird, but I was dealing with this pain in my leg, and as soon as I came and stood next to you, I just felt all the pain leave. What? Tell me about that. Like, well, that's Jesus. He said, I'm a Christian too. So we just got to talk, you know, glory to Jesus. Like I'm saying, there's no formula. I'm just telling you some practical things, okay? So in Jesus' name, pain, get out of this knee. Then you can take it up a notch, okay? Faith is spelled R-A-S-K. So we never, you know, that's kind of, it takes something from us to approach someone, could be rejected. It takes something from us to pray for someone, what if nothing happens? It takes something for us to say, did anything happen? So how is your pain right now? Oh, it's, you know, this, this, this. It's all gone. The pain's still there. So I pray again. You know, Jesus prayed for a blind man twice, and he's the God of the universe. So how many times do we get, you know? More than two. So just pray again. Normally pray until they say, I'm done. But most of the time, you don't have to pray but two or three times, and they're healed. Most of the time. That's just how Jesus is. So anyway, then you can explain to them, this is what happened. Or if they don't get healed, you can just say, well, Jesus, you know, loves you so much. And like Bishop was saying, it doesn't mean you're not healed. It's really true. It's not just a word of encouragement. Sometimes healing comes instantly. Sometimes it comes with a sign of healing that happens gradually, and then sometimes it happens with no sign of healing at all, but the next day or the next week, they're better. So is anybody dealing with pain in their hip, like their right hip? Bishop, you got something to say?
One of those two things. So we teach people a lot to move in the prophetic. We had a bunch of people here can move in the prophetic. Like, somebody look at John and said, what's my favorite color? Blue. And I look at John and go, John, you're just really faithful. And I think about blue, true blue. And God just wants to say to you how faithful you are and how he honors your faithfulness. And that's not always what's true with you as a young man, but God's cultivated that in you. He's put in you loyalty and faithfulness. And God really, really rewards that. And you will see more the manifestation of God's blessing.
We've talked about that.
Yeah. More expression of God's favor that's on your life, manifest in your life, because you're true blue.
I have to say one thing. When I first moved here, my Social Security was $1,100 a month. And Bishop said to me, you're going to go back to California. When you come back, an increase of your income. I go, oh yeah. I came back. Oh, well, I'm there. An old girlfriend says, John, my wife's deceased. She says, you go to Social Security and ask to see if you can get her Social Security. I come back $3,100 a month.
Thank you, Bishop.
Amen. But you see how simple that was? I just looked at John, thought of my favorite color.
Yeah.
And gave him a word. But it's really true. God's cultivated that kind of faithfulness, and God just honors that, okay?
I got a couple more.
Yeah. I'm going to borrow some.
When I think of, Dave, I was just looking at you thinking the color yellow. And yellow is the color of the anointing. And you came to this conference asking, Lord, I really want to see the anointing come forth in a broader stream, a bigger stream, and God's saying to you, it's going to happen. You ask for that.
Awesome.
Amen. Okay. So, you see, that's one of the ways you learn. And so I wanted to demonstrate that because people can pray for each other for healing, but they may also have a word for somebody.
Yeah.
And I want them to go for it.
Right.
Because tomorrow, when you go out, now listen, we're not going to put it in your head and make you go out.
Yeah.
I hope you'll go out. Part of the deal comes to this, but one of the things you do is you pray for people, you may get a prophetic word from them. And that happens a lot. It happens a lot. And for those of you who are watching a live stream and you say, I can't hear you, that's the price you've paid for not coming.
Yeah, the prophetic is awesome. If you want to keep rolling with that, Bishop, I mean...
Well, let's get them to do both. And who?
Yeah. So, like I said, it's hard to teach everything in 2 hours. So I just thought, focus in on one thing. Jesus preached the kingdom and healed, and I really wish. I even talked with Bishop beforehand, and I kind of debated. Seeing people come to Jesus is the key. I mean, it is what we're after. But, you know, healing is a demonstration of God's reign. And so it's all, but I really, we've seen hundreds of people come to Jesus on the street in this year. Literally, I mean, you can ask Chris, I mean, it's every day. And one of the tools, if you want to write this down, seriously, write this down if you want to see people get saved. It's called Jesus at the Door. And it's by a guy named Scott McNamara, which is MCNAMARA. I won't repeat that because I probably won't remember it. But yeah, so look him up, seriously, look him up. And you, if you look him up, if you do what he says to do, you'll see people get saved, because we have. Wish we could go into that. But we want to equip you with the weapons of warfare. You know, Jesus loves you. I do that all the time. I'll just say, hey, Jesus loves you so much. You know, and just use that as a lead-in to pray for people. But if people here don't know how to pray for someone for healing, which is a demonstration of God's kingdom, we want them to be equipped to do that, or to give prophetic words, which we may be able to go into later tonight or anything. But maybe we could just ask the Lord for... And if anyone's dealing with back or shoulder pain, yeah. Is anybody here dealing with a pain in one of their shoulders? It was like a tear at some point. Anybody? You? Okay, come on up here. Is it healed or is it still hurting? Okay, so it's not hurting right now. Okay. Does anybody deal with any left hip? Anybody? That's you? Is it hurting right now? Okay. Okay, and you back there, what's your on and off? How is it feeling right now? If you do this, can you feel pain? Not right now, okay. You, is it your knee pain? Is it hurting you right now? Come on down. You're the winner. And you can just stand right over there, and we'll get a couple more. Let's just open it up. Who's dealing with pain they feel right now? Raise your hand. All right, go ahead. Come, go ahead, Anna or Annabeth. Sorry, and then yeah, you guys come on up, and you can just stand over here. You as well. Okay. Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, come on up. Okay, and hearing in the left ear, anybody? Okay. And y'all can space out just kind of across here. Can we do? Can we do? Are we going to do both at the same time? I kind of want to get them to. You want to do that first, and then do the. Okay.
Anybody have a word? Somebody? Not we won't. If you've given a lot of words for people, you practice here, and you've done this a lot. Don't do it. We want people who aren't. Want you to go. Anybody? Kim, do you have a word? Okay, tell us. Remember, like Jiffy Pop, y'all go for it.
I don't. Seen somebody Oh, Kenny, this, okay. All right, well, can you come up, Jacob, and help us? Yeah, and your friend here as well. Yeah. Here, stand across. And just stand across. Hey, could you stand across from her? And then could you stand across from the lady in the flannel? You want to help? Yeah, awesome. You can stand across from Annabeth, the girl in the green. All right, we need one. You can stand. Kenny, go to the lady at the end. And you can stand across from him. We need one more person. Anybody else that just says, hey, I want to pray for somebody? Anybody? All right, come on. All right. And wait, that covers, Bracken down there at the end. You can go to Bracken. Okay, so you come with me. You can just stand across, stand right here. Okay, so just ask them what they need healing for. Go ahead, just ask them. Okay, we're not going to start praying yet. Bracken, we're not going to start praying yet. Barbara, just one second. Come on. All right, so ask him about the condition. Do you have an understanding of the condition? Okay, now get a gauge, okay? So we're going to want to... Kenny? Oh. Hey, stop. Everybody stop. Stop. Okay, thank you. We want... Because this is not just for y'all to be healed. This is a process I want them to see as well. So just hold up. So just ask them on a scale of 0 to 10, either how bad is the pain, or if it's a hearing issue, you know, then 10 would be no hearing at all, and 0 would be hearing. So ask them on a scale of 0 to 10, how bad is the condition? All right. Now what we're going to do is this. Bracken, what's your condition and what's the number? What's the number? Five. Okay. Ear and five. What's your left knee and what number is your pain right now?
Seven or eight.
About a seven or eight. Okay. Awesome. Anna? You're dealing with that sciatic, right? Sciatic nerve pinch out of 10. Annabeth? 5 or 6. Wendy? Okay. Okay, so when you pray for her, start with the neck, because you can kind of, there's limited mobility there, so she'll be able to test it. And then you at the end, chronic reflux and a 5 or 6. Okay. So, all right, so let's pray. So here's what we're going to do. So everyone that's ready to pray, just say this with me. You can put your hand on them if you want to, if they're okay with that. And just say this. Say, in the name of Jesus, I command body be healed in Jesus' name. Now just start speaking to the condition. Okay? Just start praying right now and start speaking to the condition. So here's what we're going to do. Okay? Put your hand. I'll put my hand on his knee. Is this arthritis?
I hurt my knee. Okay.
Yeah, so Father, we thank you for your healing power. Just say this with me, okay? Say, in the name of Jesus, all pain go right now in Jesus' name. Knee be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Going on in your knee. Anything going on? Any sensations? Any change in the pain? No. Okay, we'll pray again. Father, we thank you, Jesus, for your healing power. Come, Holy Spirit, and rest on my brother. Right now, in the name of Jesus, knee be healed in Jesus' name. Okay, so go ahead and stop praying and just ask them, were you feeling anything when I was praying? Were you feeling any change when we were praying? You know, go ahead and ask them. Okay. Now, did anybody experience any change or anything while we were praying that time? Raise your hand. Wendy, our brother here, Bracken. Okay, and we just keep praying here, and we keep praying all over. Okay, so then we just pray again. Unless you're completely healed, we just pray again. So, for example, remind me of your name?
Glenn.
So we prayed for Glenn. He said that his pain went from a 7 to a 2. Sorry, I'm not commenting very much. So, but we prayed twice. So the first time he didn't experience anything. We prayed again. It went from a 7 to a 2. Okay, so we're going to, everybody just pray again. So we'll pray out loud so you can see this. So, Lord, we thank you for Glenn. Father, we thank you for your healing power. Right now, Lord, if you can bring it from a 7 to a 2, you can bring it from a 2 to a 0. So in Jesus' name, right now, knee be healed. In Jesus' name, we command this knee be fully restored in the name of Jesus. All pain go. In Jesus' name. Okay, not to interrupt y'all, but is there anyone here that would say you experienced significant healing? Raise your hand. Both of you guys did. Okay. Okay, so just real quick, again, just real quick, we're just going to, y'all can keep praying if you want to, but real quick, what did the Lord do?
You know, she started off clicking right here. I could hear that. And the last time, you know, her arms are out like.
And I'm done.
And you can hear it.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Praise Jesus. So I like the testing thing. I like the number thing and the testing thing because you can see what the Lord's doing. You know, sometimes I prayed for someone and the pain's gone down a little bit. And if we had stopped there, we would have left them in pain, you know. And so we pray again, and we see the Lord bring more healing. So we pray. Normally, I just commit it in my heart when I'm praying for someone on the streets. I'll pray at least twice for somebody. And if I don't see anything in two or three times, you know, I may or may not end it. So I just pray at least twice, okay? At least twice. They're worth that, you know? And so you said you experienced a significant decrease in your knee, right? Significant decrease pain, right, yeah. Okay. And we'll check in on you again later, so.
I can move it further.
So increase the mobility. Okay, so your pain went from a 7 to a 3, and you have more mobility in your neck. Awesome. Praise Jesus. And your stomach? So your pain went from like a 5 or 6 in your stomach to like a 1 or 2. Amen. Praise Jesus. Okay. Anna, hey, look. Okay. Is this working? Okay, well, thank you guys. You can keep praying if you want to. I hope that was helpful.
At least. I was telling Bracken it's really not that good a deal. You're a married man hearing
404. I had a word for Annabeth. I saw a picture of you on a sailboat, and the wind of the Lord was blowing fresh wind into your sail and taking you to a new place. And so I just feel like you're at a point where the Lord's going to launch you into something new, and it's going to be through the wind of the Holy Spirit, and you're not going to be able to miss it. Let's just mic people.
Here. Glenn and Barbara. yes, yes. I just felt like the Lord said there are some dreams that you have that have become dormant. And that he wants to remind you about those dreams and reassure you that they are there for a reason, they're from him, and that they will come to pass.
So, yeah, just real quick. I mean, this is like all real quick stuff, but like when the Lord speaks, he lives inside of us. So we are one with him. It says we have the mind of Christ. So sometimes when he's speaking, it can sound like your thoughts. So he may speak to you in a number of ways. He may just give you a knowing about somebody. You may just automatically just know something about somebody. You can just ask them if that's true. You can just think it. It can be like a thought that crosses your mind. It can be a picture that you get that's a prophetic picture for somebody, and you may have to ask the Lord what it means. You can feel something. You can feel a sadness. Get around someone and feel like, man, I just feel sad. The Lord may show you a detail for somebody. A word of knowledge is a detail. It's something they already know about themselves. So if you tell somebody what they already know about themselves, that opens the door for the prophetic to flow, and it also opens the door for, you know, them to know that Jesus is real. And we can keep flowing. I've got one quick testimony. Whenever I was learning, they said, go to the most intimidating person and give the most accurate word of knowledge. So I, just to step out there, so I saw these two teenagers walking toward me. To me, teenagers are very intimidating. I don't know why, but just, so I saw them walking toward me. I said, Lord, give me something. I didn't have anything. So I had this vague idea that one of them, you know, was going through something. Wow, that's prophetic. So there's one of you guys going through something. Yeah, he's going through something. And then the Lord started to flow. I prayed for him to feel the Lord's presence. Tears broke out. This other friend said, hey, I was shot. Left pain. And he said, you can pray for me, but I don't know about this God stuff. I said, okay, no problem. Prayed for him. I was like, Jesus, show me something for him. And I just got the number 22, just flashed across my mind clearly. And then faintly in the back of my mind, I heard the word August. So I said, does August 22nd mean anything to you? His eyes got huge. He turned to his friend and said, oh my gosh. He said, that's the day that I was shot. And so it really opened his heart to experience the Lord. So when you step out, I'm telling you, I'm sorry this is all rushed. I'm sorry this seems to all be combobulated, but I'm just telling you, when you step out, the best place to learn to flow in the Spirit is out there. The Lord, when you step out on the limb, the Lord's going to be faithful like Elijah when he did the double portion of water over the sacrifice, turning up the risk. So sometimes, here's what I like to do, and you can ask Chris. I'll go up to somebody, I don't have a word for them, and say, hey, I have a prophetic word for you from the Lord. Because the Lord will have to show up then, turning up the risk. And so it could be, like Bishop said, a color, anything, an image. So a lot of you guys have operated. Is there anybody? So everyone's seen someone healed. That's awesome, unless you're lying. Has anybody, like Donna over here, like Donna, has anybody here, and we're not going to, I won't put you on the spot, I promise. Donna, but let me just put it this way. If you've never gotten a prophetic word and you want to, raise your hand. Or you've never.
Well, I write prophetic.
Okay. You have a word. Okay. Well, come find me. Come find me. We'll spend the next 30 minutes after this session. We'll talk about it. We'll pray. Okay. Just come find me. If you want to give prophetic words, come find me.
This is for the gentleman right back there in the green shirt. I write poems and I send out chapbooks when somebody dies to the relatives. And I tie the book sometimes with a green ribbon. It's because of the new life. And I was thinking Bishop was wanting us to pick out a color and give a word based on that color, so I got that stuck in my brain. But every time I've looked at you today, I thought you were, there are two Dr. Park Chittums in town. One is the senior and one is the junior. And I thought you were Dr. Park Chittum when I first looked around. And every time I look at you, I think of Dr. Park Chittum. Like, so the Lord just says, learn what's going on today if you don't know. And you will be medicine and new life to the people that you bring it to.
Yeah. That's that anointing on you. Amen. Okay. Okay. Go. Yeah. You got.
I said I wouldn't put you on the spot. I didn't say he would.
There's red hair in your. People with red hair are more anointed than anybody else in the world.
Is that how it works?
Yes, that works. So, I want you to think of your favorite superhero and the characteristics about them, and I want you to give him a word.
I don't know. I've never done this before.
I know.
I don't know how.
You just open your mouth and talk about your super favorite superhero characteristics and give the word to him. When you think about your favorite superhero, what do you think? And give that to him as if it was the word.
I would say strong, caring, and always knowing how to handle the
situation. Amen. Those of us who know about, see, it's really that simple. You don't have to float in the air. It's really that simple. Yeah. So has had to make a lot of right decisions. A pastor who was a Marine, so you didn't have no clue. So it's no more complicated than that. And I've had people who really don't know how the prophetic works, how you grow in it, and they would hear simple things like, well, God's just telling me that he really loves you. And they would go, oh, you know, that's not really the prophetic. I'm thinking, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. That's how those things happen. It's how it grows. You don't know, that person really needed to hear in that moment that God loves them.
I got sent out by Bishop Doug Kessler. He says, go pray for this guy because he's in the hospital and he has problems with his kidneys and liver and everything else. I'm like, oh, and this guy's, I'm just being serious. I think this guy's dead. You know, this is a problem. And I pray for him, and like about 3 weeks later, this guy shows up in church and he goes, thank you for coming to pray for me. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. See, and once you get over the fear factor, once you start, and we'll talk about some of that tonight, that word would have flowed even more. You'd feel more comfortable. So like when you go out tomorrow or when you're at home, but like when you practice tomorrow and you pray for somebody, God may also give you a prophetic word for them. And you say, well, what if that's just in my head? Well, go for it and trust the Lord with that. It's not any more complicated than that. Yeah. Right. Right. Well, you just have to go for it. Trust. Trust the Lord.
That does apply to him, by the way.
Trust the Lord with it.
Yeah, it's
I've never known anybody who went for it like that who's ever missed it. And I've seen thousands and thousands of prophetic words given.
And the way that I would do it is I would just say, you know, find someone and say, Lord, would you speak to me for them? And then just start paying attention to your thoughts. And just pay attention to what the Lord, you know, just trust that he's speaking to you. He said, if you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone. And so we just go for it. And I'm telling you, the Lord shows some crazy things. That's why it's called risk, is because he doesn't open up the sky and say, Jacob, tell Bob. It would be nice, but he lives within us. The veil's been torn. He lives within us. And so a lot of times, we're so in union with him that our thoughts are his thoughts. And so one way you can do it is just say, Lord, would you, you know, it says in the Psalms, his thoughts for us outnumber the sands of the sea. So Lord, just give me one of those thoughts for Jacob, you know, I feel like you're a loyal person. I just feel like for you that you have a real big heart for the people in your life, like a real big leadership gift for the people in your life. And you'll stand up, you know, for anybody that needs standing up for. Like, I just feel like you're one of those people that, like, you mourn with those who mourn, you fight with those who fight, you know. And I just, yeah, so I just bless you. Does that make sense?
Because you don't know, maybe the enemy's been telling Father Bob lately that you can't make wise decisions anymore. And so, you just confirmed to him that he can.
So just ask.
And so, you know what I'm saying? We have to trust the Lord with that. Anna?
Yeah.
Now, again, if you have a word,
share that.
If you have a word, third John words, not Leviticus words. Okay.
Well, the pain's kind of gone now.
Huh?
The pain's actually pretty much gone.
Oh, praise the Lord. Amen.
So your prayer worked. What's your name again? Jacob? Okay. When I came here the first night, I was instantly drawn to you. And I've been actually praying on and off for a while, thinking, is there something I'm supposed to say? And when Bishop said, you know, think about your favorite color. Well, my favorite color is red. And when I thought about red in you, I saw a flame, a very small flame that was white at the bottom, and then it turned blue, and then it was this orange red that just grew even bigger. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then the next thing I knew is I saw a sword being drawn out of the flame. And I felt like the Lord saying, you've got a lot of passion, and there's a fire that's burning you that I'm going to get. When I said it lit, you're just going to go for it. There's not going to be something about question. It's just going to all of a sudden like ignite in you, and you will get it, and you will walk. And that that sword that you were holding is a very strong sword, and it's forged in fire is what he kept telling me. It's forged in fire.
Amen. So I think there are two ladies here. I don't want to embarrass you, and you shouldn't be embarrassed. I mean, if Jesus physically, like the one that you have a picture of somewhere on your wall, if that Jesus were to show up here and give this word, you'd like, oh yeah. But Jesus is here. Amen? And so I think there's two ladies here who have been struggling with chronic depression, and God wants to set you free right now, permanently. So if that's you, just raise your hand. We'll pray real quick. There's one. Who's the other? Okay. So let's pray right now. And it doesn't matter what you've been through before. How many times you've been prayed for? You with me? So Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name for your healing power. And Lord, I thank you that their family tree is the cross. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for their union with you. I thank you, Lord, for your healing. I thank you, Lord, that you bore our brokenness. And so in the name of Jesus, I just command every and any spirit of depression and every downer, demonic thing attached to that to release you. I command the assignment to be over. I plead the blood of Christ over you. And I command all of your brain chemistry to come into normality according to how God created you to be. And we just thank you, Lord, for healing them of depression, that they will see these Egyptians no more forever. Amen. Okay. Now, one of the things I think that you're seeing is, we're going to be talking about this tonight, is that it's really simple. It's not meant to be complicated. It's not for spiritual geniuses. It's just for childlike people. And Jesus was the most childlike person who ever lived. He just walked in childlikeness. And, 420. Thank you, David. Yeah, Glenn. Well, Glenn? Somebody have a microphone? So they can hear? Well, they can hear it over live stream. It'll encourage them. Go ahead, Dave.
Lord's been trying to get me to hold my hand up for the last 15, 20 minutes.
to say something to David. He kept telling me to tell you thank you, that you've done a good job and you are listening to him and he loves you.
Amen. Awesome.
That's awesome.
That's a great word for David, because he won't spend the next month kicking himself, going, did I do it right? Did I do it wrong? So that's why I think that David, God uses David because such powerful ways, because he said, our weakness and strength is made perfect. And so David is a gift. He thank you, David.
Just one thing we can do, if you're like hungry right now, if you want to stay afterwards to give words, maybe we can just, this is voluntarily, completely, but if you want to stay afterwards to give words, and if you want words, we're just, maybe we could just come up here and just have fun. Well, you know, if you're CTK, maybe mask up or whatever, I don't know. Is that okay with you? I mean, I just feel like there's a hunger right now in the room that, just if you want to go, cool. But
his own book, so these two books, the Joseph book and the Mary book, the reason they're in print is because it came from a teaching, several teachings he did, where he shared the prayers that he's prayed into his own life year after year that was inspired from the life of Mary and the life of Joseph. And I just couldn't let those prayers go by the wayside. We needed them archived. We needed to share them. We needed to see the things that he just continually prays in his life. So this is our attempt at capturing that and being able to disseminate it for people. Because not only are there like the written devotionals, but these are prayers and where that came from based on these two people's lives. So just wanted to share that with you all.